Hi, this is Jay Evans from the USDA ARS Bee Research Laboratory in Beltsville, Maryland. Today I'd like to read an essay I wrote for Bee Culture magazine titled Found in Translation, Micronutrients with Large Impacts. After hundreds of millions of years, pollen is a pretty perfect food for raising bees. This is not an absolute. Some pollens are less nutritious than others, and pollens from many plants have toxins that impair or even kill their bee partners. On the bee side, some species are so wedded to particular plants that pollens from other plants will never suffice. These specialist bees will fly past hundreds of flowers and only collect from the one species that calls to them. Presumably, their offspring will not fare well with the pollen everyone else is eating. Honeybees are not picky eaters, and they thrive on pollens that make other bees gag. This is part of the allure of honeybees for pollination. In their minds and stomachs, pretty much all agricultural crops are worth the visit. Honeybees can also be forced to use non-pollen sources of protein and micronutrients. So-called pollen substitutes give bees a short-term boost when nothing else is available, but are never as good as the real thing. Recent exciting work on bee pollens reveals signatures that best fit the bill for honeybees, while also driving searches for a more perfect pollen substitute for beekeepers. The work I will highlight focuses on sterols, building blocks for everything from cell membranes to hormones needed by plants, animals, and microbes like fungi. Sterols generally make up less than 1% of one's diet, hence the micronutrient label. But if you are missing them, bad health will follow. Pollens have a range of sterols, including some like 24-methylene cholesterol, or 24-MC, and isofucosterol that are especially important for bee pollinators. Leading a resurgence of interest for sterols, Priya Chakrabarty, now at Washington State University in the U.S., and colleagues use supplemental feeding experiments to confirm high levels of 24-MC in bee bodies and show the importance of this sterol for bee health. This is a paper titled Evaluating Effects of a Critical Micronutrient, 24-methylene cholesterol, on Honeybee Physiology, and it's in the Annals of the Entomological Society of America from 2021. Basically, 24-MC was good for bee development at every tested level, from 0.25% up to 1% in an artificial protein diet that lacked sterols. Bees increased their consumption of artificial diets high in 24-MC and stored more of this micronutrient in their bodies, resulting in higher lipid contents in their abdomens and higher protein reserves. The authors built on prior knowledge showing where in the body bees store these sterols and how levels differed between drones, workers, and queens, all clues for what they might do for bee and colony health. One tidbit is that 24-MC piles up in the hypopharyngeal glands of nurse bees, indicating a strong need in developing larvae nursed by these very bees. A second study this year from Belgium and the United States boosted the sterols in artificial feeds in an attempt to improve colony growth. This is by Bogert et al., titled A Nutritionally Complete Pollen-Replacing Diet Protects Honeybee Colonies During Stressful Commercial Pollination Requirement for Icofosterol. And this is from 2025 in the Proceedings of the Royal Society Bee. The target of Thierry Bogert and team was one of the next-in-line sterols after 24-MC, icofucosterol. Adding this sterol to an artificial diet had a large and sustained impact on brood production, leading to a rare, quote, complete food, end quote, that contained no pollen. Current pollen-free supplements are known to boost bee reproduction, but boosted colonies require at least some natural pollen coming in to continue growth. This diet, with added isofucosterol, claims to be sufficient with no pollen whatsoever. It's a potential happy meal for bee colonies. Finally, Eleanor Moore and colleagues from England and Denmark took a high-tech approach to genetically engineer a bee superfood. This is a paper titled Engineered yeast provides rare but essential pollen sterols for honeybees, and it's in the journal Nature, also in 2025. The author started with the yeast Yararia lipolytica, a widespread and widely used, quote, industrial, end quote, yeast that has been recognized as safe in human food applications. They used genetic tweaking to make the cells of this yeast a more perfect food for bees, specifically a platform strain of Yararia that has a lot of tools in its arsenal was used to build a chemistry kit of sterols. The authors added genes from plants, animals, actually fishes in this case, other fungi and bacteria into this yeast, and the resulting yeast, called MXST for mixed sterols, was shown to produce high levels of 24MC, decent levels of isofucosterol, and a handful of additional sterols. MXST was pitted against two Yararia strains that did not produce 24MC or isofucosterol, as well as a base soy protein patty that had only the usual plant sterols. All diets had similar ratios of protein, sugars, fats, and essential B minerals. The strongest results occurred in a controlled trial during which bees received no outside pollen for up to 91 days. By day 45, micronukes fed MXST, that is six replicate colonies, showed a trend toward higher brood levels relative to the other Yararia feeds, and indeed had significantly more developing brood than one of the three control feeds by day 75. By day 91 of this trial, nearly all of the colonies lacked developing larvae and no significant differences remained. However, capped brood were significantly higher at day 91 in the MXST cohort than in any of the control treatments. This technology will receive lots more testing, and additional genetic tinkering will likely be needed to generate an ideal feed. Why go through the trouble of designing a living yeast that makes its own bee-friendly sterols? The sterol supplements, 24MC and isofucosterol, put into feed by the Chakrabarty and Bogert groups are really pricey, putting a large burden on willing beekeepers. And should you be worried about your bees eating an engineered yeast? The authors were careful to overheat the yeast after they were grown in liquid vats so that all of the feeds consisted of inviable yeast powders. Bees readily consume the stuff and package the provided sterols in the right parts of their bodies, so their bodies seem to react to this as they would other food sources. Again, large-scale field experiments are needed to identify the long-term benefits and possible harms of a yeast diet during pollen dearths. For now, pollen-based supplements are the top choice when flowers are inadequate, while diverse, pesticide-free flowers are supreme if your bees can find them. As a poignant twist, USDA scientist Mark Feldlaufer, the last living member of a team of chemists and bee researchers who helped define the sterols in bees and pollens, for example, in a paper with Jim Savoda, titled Selective Sterol Transfer in the Honeybee, Its Significance in Relationship to Other Hymenoptera. This was published in Lipids, the journal Lipids, L-I-P-I-D-S, in 1986. Mark passed away on August 24th, 2025, less than a week before this nice paper went live. He would have loved seeing how fundamental work in bee and pollen chemistries was leading to new options for beekeepers. Mark was a boss and mentor for several of us in USDA Beltsville, and he will be missed. Thank you for listening. Good luck with your bees going into winter.